Greetings. Today's readings underscore the ongoing focus of Scripture on our identity and purpose as followers of Jesus Christ. So we started with the collect that we all prayed together, right? We prayed for the community, for the church, for unity and power to give glory to God in and through Christ. The readings clarify how we do that. How do we give glory? First and foremost, we give glory to God by knowing our identity, who we are. Sometimes when the kids were growing up, adolescents or teenagers, Ryan's 29, he's sitting back there in the last pew, he can tell you if he remembers this. When the kids would go out the door to school or to a social event or a party or something, occasionally it would occur to me to say to them, remember who you are. Remember you're a McDermott. And they would kind of, yeah, Dad, right. See ya. But I think that there was hope there that later on, if something happened, if they had to make a decision, or if they witnessed something, that seed was planted. Remember who you are. In that first reading today, Isaiah reminds the people who they are. He says, listen, listen. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, to Abraham and Sarah. And he goes on to speak of being alive and comforted with joy and gladness in the effort together as a community in seeking justice and an enduring salvation, a healing, an enduring healing as a community. Psalm 138 echoes this encouragement by speaking of holiness and thanksgiving and this increasing strength that is within, that comes from an identity committed to God's goodness within. Quote, the Lord will make good his purpose for me in the song. The Lord will make good his purpose for me. And Paul's amazing letter to the Romans this morning, chapter 12, focuses sharply on identity and purpose. How do we present ourselves as a living sacrifice? How do we present ourselves as an offering to God? Is it by being agreeable all the time? Being nice? Not necessarily. This is how. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern, so that you may discern what is the will of God. So you may discern what is good. He's not saying God's going to tell us what to do. God's going to tell us that it's all black and white. This is right. This is wrong. How do you discern what is good? And he goes on by saying, do not think yourself higher than others. Use your gifts, your God-given gifts, your graceful gifts, to be able to prophesy, see the future, be aware of the future, to minister, to teach, to exhort. I read that as encourage, to exhort each other, to give with a generous heart, to lead. If there is need for leading, and to be compassionate. It's all there in these great words from Paul, who knows himself and knows that the Spirit is within him and has saved him, has transformed him. It's all there. Be continually transformed by grace, by humility, diligence, strength, and compassion. Martin Luther King, in a sermon about this reading, called this, quote, transformed nonconformity. transformed nonconformity. So when we come to the gospel, we can see the seriousness that Jesus brings to this conversation in terms of identity, knowing who you are and why. Before the age of the media, before Twitter, Jesus actually had to ask his friends, his disciples, what's going on? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And so they all contribute, you know, various prophets and so forth. And then he says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter, capturing the spirit of the community, says, you are the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. You're the healer. You're the Christ. You're the anointed one who we believe God is speaking through in an extraordinary way. The one speaking God's will and word in this moment. And Jesus says, grace has brought you to this belief. And your identity in me means your identity is in God. My beautiful 2-year-old granddaughter, Maddox River Grace, I like to think that if she's ever teased with the word mad, you know, Maddox mad, that that's going to be her non-conforming spirit. Maddox River Grace came home from preschool in Texas. Good things come from Texas. Just saying. She came home from preschool and she learned this motto that they taught her. She would say, I am strong. I am kind. I am important. What else do we need? I am strong. I am kind. I am important. Identity matters. The way we see ourselves matters. What we call ourselves, how we describe ourselves, what we think of ourselves, sons and daughters of the living God, it matters. How we see our purpose, it matters a lot. And Jesus knew this when he told the disciples in today's gospel, don't tell anyone that you believe I'm the Messiah, because it matters. And it's going to matter to the wrong people in the wrong way. He was conformed to God, to God's ways, to God's strength, to God's kindness, and the importance of all people. In his webzine, Journey with Jesus, parishioner Dan Clendenin inspired me this week with his essay on today's readings. I don't know if you're familiar with Journey with Jesus. It's a wonderful weekly blog zine, he calls it, on the readings for Sunday. And I wanted to lift up, he's in San Diego, he and Patty are in San Diego visiting their grandson this weekend, so he's not here, I won't embarrass him, but there's information in the bulletin about Journey with Jesus. Check it out, sign up. A lot of parishioners write for it. Our own Debbie Thomas is a regular contributor. She's a wonderful writer. Lisa Krieger, Rebecca Lyman, bunch of folks. It inspired me this week about these readings and about not conforming to this world. And he emphasizes two examples of people who did not conform. Reverend Daniel Berrigan and Rosa Parks, right? Amongst others, Dorothy Day, Thomas Merton, Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, of course. Spiritual giants who were very human, just like you. Berrigan, Jesuit poet and peace activist who died in 2016, often protested against this world's culture of death and violence and war. When writer Nora Gallagher asked him how many times he had been jailed for standing up for his belief in the gospel, he very seriously said, not enough. Saying no to a culture of violence and saying yes to his belief in Jesus and to his identity and his purpose. And we all know the story of Rosa Parks, civil rights icon, arrested for not conforming, literally. And her strength came from her faith, directly from her faith. She wrote in her autobiography, My Story, quote, "From my upbringing and the Bible, I learned people should stand up for rights just as the children of Israel stood up to Pharaoh." "That's in my family background," she said. "The Lord's power within me to do what I have done." She later responded to death threats by going to her African Methodist Episcopal Church and praying for long periods of time on her knees. And then she talks about, after this prayer, an intense calm coming over her, sweeping over her. That prayer reminding her of her true identity. Do you remember how that bus experience actually happened? She was sitting in the right place. She was sitting in the colored section. And when too many white folk came onto the bus driver took the sign or the rope or the chain, whatever it is, and moved it back further. And she was in that seat. And other people moved. And she stayed put. And when the bus driver said, "I'm going to have to call the police if you're not going to move," she said, "You may do that." She knew who she was in that moment, her true identity. And she knew everybody on that bus was important. Her identity was not to be found in moving back, but by staying put and being renewed in her purpose as a person of integrity, as a follower of Christ, strong, kind, and important. What is your identity? And what is your purpose? How do you wisely fight against evil and oppression and apathy in yourself or out there in the world? The divisions, the self-only interested pomposity, the playing to divisiveness, to increase one's own standing, as opposed to the standing of all. Where do you stand? A parishioner, Gail, I don't see Gail today. Yeah, she must be out of town. She called my attention last week to a piece of writing called The Haters' Beatitudes. You remember a beatitude, as Jesus used the beatitudes. The word means blessing, but it's about taking something that seems wrong, something that's negative, a curse, and flipping it around, turning it upside down. That's what Jesus was doing in the Beatitudes. And so this is, I want to read this to you, the Haters' Beatitudes, parts of it. It's on the internet. I couldn't find the author. Because it gives us a context for not conforming to this world, being faithful. "Blessed are the haters, for they remind us why the work and the fight are so vital. Blessed are the strivers, for they invite us back to our authentic power. Blessed are the mean-spirited, for they remind us love is precious. Blessed are the betrayers, for they shall free us of our ego. Blessed are the narcissists, for they confirm illusion isn't truth. Blessed are the liars, for the truth does not need to be defended to be real. Blessed are the control freaks, for they show us trust and messes are the mothers of invention. Blessed are the oppressors, for they strengthen our resolve with every attempt to break our backs. For every person fighting the good fight, for every nurse, every teacher, social worker, custodian, bus driver, every first responder, coffee slinger, municipal worker, fast food worker, every bartender, nanny, and day laborer, every hotel worker, every farmer, every queer person, disabled and differently abled person, every person of faith, every postal worker, wait staffer, for every struggling designer, cubicle worker, working parent, pro-choice crusader, for every artist yet to be discovered, for every novelist rejected, for every person of color, every ally, every dreamer or inventor, for every brave soul who will not yield, who will not conform to the braying of sheep, to anyone who still believes we are the architects and builders of our future, be encouraged. Remember, you are not alone. Remember, you are loved. Remember, there will always be others brave enough to rage against that which seeks to make us small and bended. Remember that it matters. Blessed are those who encourage their sisters and brothers in the struggle, especially when we don't agree. Blessed are those who forgive, for they shall invite grace. Blessed are those who widen the tent, for they shall incite joy and throw a better party. That's the spirit of the gospel, I think. That's the spirit of Christ, not conforming. But I want to end today with a little more subtle piece of writing by a former poet laureate of the United States, Billy Collins. People know Billy Collins. He's a very popular poet. And this is in the spirit of the eclipse that we witnessed or experienced in various ways this week, that metaphor of light beyond, behind, surrounding the darkness. This is a poem, and I have some props. It's not my lunch. As if to demonstrate an eclipse, I pick an orange from a wicker basket and place it on the table to represent the sun, and then down at the other end, a blue and white marble becomes the earth, and nearby I lay the little moon of an aspirin. I get a glass from a cabinet, open a bottle of wine, then I sit in a ladderback chair, a benevolent god presiding over a miniature creation myth. And I begin to sing a homemade canticle of thanks for this perfect little arrangement, for not making the earth too hot or cold, not making it spin too fast or slow, so that the grove of orange trees and the owl become possible, not to mention the rolling wave, the play of clouds, geese in flight, and the Z of lightning on a dark lake. Then I fill my glass again and give thanks for the trout, the oak, and the yellow feather, singing the room full of shadows as sun and earth and moon circle one another in their impeccable orbits, and I get more and more cockeyed with gratitude. The eclipse was amazing, but as many people have said, every day is amazing. Every day is a cosmic and local miracle, and it's worth fighting for. So if you get discouraged, go ahead and turn off the news in the moment, but don't close your eyes. Don't shut down your hearts. Jesus and the saints, from Mary Magdalene to St. Paul to Daniel Berrigan to Rosa Parks, are calling us to renew our minds quote, so that we may discern the will of God. So let us be a community of faith that seeks, that names our identity and purpose in doing good and opposing wrong. Let us be that community of faith. Let us be strong and be kind, because it's all important. In the name of Christ, amen.